Let's continue reading verses 11 through 26 of Matthew 27. Now here in this portion of Matthew 27, we have the Lord's trial before Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea and Samaria. Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 11. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you? Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Once again, let's consider some background notes. After our Lord's religious trial before the Jews, the Jewish authorities delivered Jesus over to Pilate for his civil trial. Their purpose was to get the Lord crucified because the Sanhedrin, the highest tribunal of the Jews, was not allowed under Rome to carry out the death penalty. The death verdict by the Sanhedrin was because Jesus had claimed to be the Messiah. As far as the unbelieving Jewish leaders were concerned, this was a claim to deity and therefore blasphemy. But this charge would carry no weight with the Roman authorities. Making such a claim did not justify the death penalty as far as Rome was concerned. And so the Jews tried to come up with some trumped-up charges that would grab Pilate's attention. Putting all the gospel accounts together, we find that they engineered three political charges against the Lord. Number one, Jesus was a revolutionary and thus a problem for Rome. Number two, Jesus was against paying taxes to Rome. And number three, Jesus claimed to be a king and therefore a threat to Rome. All of these charges were false, of course. Pilate declared the Lord innocent, and he was the Roman authority. In 1961, a stone inscription written in Latin was uncovered in the excavations at Caesarea in Israel. It contained the name of Pilate. So once again, we see that archaeology supports the historical accuracy of the Bible. Pontius Pilate is well documented in history as the governor, procurator of Judea and Samaria. Pilate would be under Tiberius, the Roman emperor. Pontius was a family name. Herod Antipas was ruling Galilee at this time. Pilate and Herod were not on the best of terms until the trial of Jesus. But during our Lord's Roman trial, Pilate had Jesus sent over to Herod for examination. I'm reading the account in Luke chapter 23, verses 6 through 12. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. As soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been at enmity with each other. Luke chapter 23, verses 6 through 12. So much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. So doctrinal point number one. The Roman governor had Jesus crucified for political purposes. The Roman governor had Jesus crucified for political purposes. The headquarters for the Roman government in Palestine was Caesarea, along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. You know, there are spectacular ruins to be seen at Caesarea today, dating from Roman times. So if you ever get to go to Israel, make sure you go to Caesarea. During Jewish feast days, when many Jews from all over the empire would come to Jerusalem, the Roman governor would generally travel from Caesarea up to Jerusalem. Why? The Jews were known to be a rebellious people. They were always causing unrest for the Roman authorities. So it was wise for Rome to have a show of force in Jerusalem when the crowds were there in order to quell any possible riot or disruption of the peace. This is why Pilate was in Jerusalem at the time of the Passover feast. And this is why our Lord's civil trial was in Jerusalem and not in Caesarea, where it normally would be held, as the Apostle Paul's was about 30 years later. Any Roman governor who was able to keep the peace in Palestine won favor with the higher powers of Rome. So Pilate was willing to do whatever it took to keep the peace in Jerusalem and appease the Jews, even if it meant corrupting justice. The Jews knew this, and they played this political card to the maximum. We read in John chapter 19 and verse 12, "From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, 'If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar.'" John 19, verse 12. Pilate knew that our Lord was innocent, and he knew that the Jews had delivered Jesus up not for any wrongdoing, but for envy. Look at verse 18 once again. "For Pilate knew that they had handed him over because of envy." Pilate knew this. And God arranged for Pilate's wife to have a dream, testifying to the Lord's innocence and righteousness. And yet Pilate, in order to avoid a possible riot in Jerusalem, a riot that would not reflect favorably on his political career, chose to appease the Jews and corrupt justice by releasing Barabbas, a notorious criminal, and have Jesus, who was completely innocent, crucified. What a terrible miscarriage of justice. Pilate, the Roman governor, had Jesus crucified for political purposes. Doctrinal point number two. The Jews had Jesus crucified for religious purposes. The Jews had Jesus crucified for religious purposes. Although the Jews were trying to get Jesus crucified for treason and rebellion against the Roman Empire, their real reason was religious. The Jewish leaders refused to recognize Jesus as the one he claimed to be, that is, the Son of God and the Messiah. And they were envious of him, as we see there in verse 18. Verse 18 once again, "For Pilate knew that they had handed him over because of envy." The Jewish leaders could not stand the fact that Jesus was popular among the people. They were envious of him. They did everything they could to turn the common people against Jesus. They persuaded the people to call out for his crucifixion. Many of these people were probably part of the fickle crowd that welcomed the Lord at his triumphal entry. A few days before, they had cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David," and now they are calling out, "Crucify him." Many of these people had expected the Lord to overthrow the Roman authority in Palestine and set up his earthly kingdom at that time, but it didn't happen. Thus, the crowd was easily persuaded by their leaders that Jesus was not the Messiah and easily persuaded them to call out for his crucifixion. Verse 20 once again. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Barabbas was a notorious felon. We learn from John's gospel that he was a thief. And we learn from Mark's gospel that he was an insurrectionist and a murderer. Pilate's goodwill toward the Jewish people at Passover time each year was to release one prisoner. The Jews requested Barabbas rather than Jesus. You know, the name Barabbas means son of the Father. Think of it. The Jews rejected the true Son of the Father for Barabbas. When Pilate said that he was innocent of the blood of this just person, verse 24, this was a clear statement of our Lord's innocence. The crowd answered back in verse 25, "His blood be on us and on our children." This self-incriminating prophecy has certainly been fulfilled over the years, hasn't it? Think of all the troubles of the Jewish people down through history, even to this present time, and more to come during the tribulation period. Certainly a fulfillment of this self-incriminating prophecy of Matthew 27, verse 25. His blood be on us and on our children. The Jews had Jesus crucified for religious reasons. Practical application. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? When the people asked for Barabbas, Pilate said in verse 22, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." You know, this is still the same response of many people today to the question, "What will you do with Jesus?" They may not say so in so many words, "Crucify him." But when people refuse to receive Christ as God and Savior, and when they choose philosophies and worldviews other than what Jesus said was the truth, and when they use the name of Jesus to blaspheme, they are saying, in essence, that they would rather have Jesus crucified and out of the picture rather than Jesus telling them what to do and what to believe. Is that not true? What about you? What will you do with Jesus? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Or are you still deciding, what will you do with Jesus?